Welcome to Energy Matters, exploring awakening to your authentic self and finding purpose through mind, body, and soul. With your hosts, Cody Edner and David Gandelman. Brought to you by intuitivevision.net and groundedmind.com.
Happy Valentine's Day, Cody.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, David. Hey, your gift is, you know, on the way.
Welcome back, Energy Matters listeners. Last year, Cody and I did a Valentine's Day, Valentine's Week relationship themed episode. And this year we've decided two men are not enough to talk about relationships. We need three men.
And an expert, right? It was
like one of them to be an expert.
Two men and an expert. That's what we have now.
I think there was a show about that. And so today we've got Scott Milnes on. He is the founder of the Great Relationship Academy. He's on a mission to help singles with dating clarity, to choose with confidence, and to build lasting love. He's also an expert when it comes to marriage and an expert when it comes to divorce and everything in between. We walked through the entire arc of the relationship process with him today, from being single all the way to divorce, if that's how it ends, but it doesn't have to, of course. But we did want to cover as many bases as we could. I was super impressed. I don't want to give it away, but this is a special episode. I hope you guys like it as much as we did. And before we jump into it, just one quick announcement. So we still have a few spots left for our Costa Rica retreat, April 28th to May 4th in Nosara, Costa Rica. It's going to be pretty incredible. Me, Cody, we've got two amazing yoga teachers, sound healer. We're going to do some charity work while we're there. It's going to be an incredible 7 days. And I'm so excited. So if any of you are available, want to roll with us, you can find it at energymatterspodcast.com. You'll see the retreats tab, or you can go right to the source, revampretreats.com, R-E-V-A-M-P retreats.com. And let's jump into relationships. You ready, Cody?
I'm ready.
All right. Hey, Energy Matters listeners, welcome back to this special episode for Valentine's Day and beyond on relationships. And you know, me and Cody have been having some relationship issues, so we've brought Scott Milnes in, a relationship coach and expert, to help us out. Hey, Scott, welcome.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And me and Scott met at a bar originally, and I said, hey, come on the podcast. No, it wasn't a bar. Well, it was a cafe. We met
through a little coffee shop. Yeah.
It was a coffee shop in San Diego. Met over wheatgrass shots.
Yeah.
And Scott, we had an awesome conversation the first time we met. And I was like, man, this guy knows a ton about relationships and I would love to learn. So I invited you on. And that was like, geez, 8 months ago. And we finally got you here. So thank you so much for being here.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me. Yeah, dude, it was fun meeting you, man. We hit it right off. And yeah, great conversations for sure.
And we're going to have another one. So I would love to start off by you maybe telling us the stages of relationship. We were talking about this a little bit before we started the show, the stages of from being single to premarital, marital, and then if you have to deal with divorce. And it seems like you're an expert on all of those stages. And maybe we can kind of break up the show where we talk a bit about each one and some of the strategies for everyone listening. But can you just walk us through the stages of relationships?
Yeah, David, thanks a lot. So, you know, the way I typically break it up in terms of like when I'm working with single people is it's kind of a concept of find, grow, and keep. And, you know, for all the single people out there listening, you know, the first, your first challenge of order is to, you know, find a really good partner that's suitable for you, somebody that you can actually, you know, do business with and build a great relationship with, whether that's a long-term relationship or something that's even more standing, for example, like a marriage, raising a family, et cetera. And so, you know, for someone that's on the single journey, you want to find somebody that's a great match. From there, you really want to start working on the behaviors and habits of growing that. Again, find, grow, and keep. So you want to really have the skills to grow that into the type of strong relationship that can really stand the test of time. And that's where, you know, like you mentioned, David, you know, the pre-engagement coaching, premarital coaching, really just giving these young couples the toolkit to go the distance. And then from there, you know, I encourage a lot of my couples to, you know, actively keep investing in their relationship through some type of a marriage enrichment program. And that's kind of the keep phase. Again, find, grow, and keep.
And so if we started with, let's say, someone who's single and wants to create a relationship and they're just like fumbling with apps and or going out and or just not doing anything, sitting at home, hoping their soulmate just lands on the top of their head, what would you say to somebody who's like in that search? Is there a strategy?
There really is, man. And that's, I mean, this is an area that I'm super, super passionate about, is just working with singles. And so, the first order of business with all the singles I work with is getting crystal clear on who you are. It's funny little story, man, but like whenever I speak live on this topic, I'll usually ask the audience like, hey, you know, what's the longest relationship you've ever been in? And people will be like, oh, you know, I was married for 12 years, or, I dated this guy for 4 years, and you know, I get all these numbers, and that's great. But then I'll ask the same people who answered. I'm like, okay, Jennifer, remind me if you're comfortable with it, you know, tell us how old you are. And she'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm 29. And so I start, you know, eliciting everybody's age. And where I lead all this to is, whatever that age is, whatever that number is, that's the longest relationship they've ever been in. And it's the relationship we have with ourselves. And so, man, that's where I start with everybody is I want, dude, I always say, like, you need to have your black belt in singlehood. Like, you've got to really be good with your own singleness. Like, you got the relationship you have with yourself needs to be the best it's ever been before you enter the dating pool. Cause, and I'm sure you've seen this too, brother, where there's way too many people out there in the dating pool who they don't know who they are. They don't know really who they want to grow into or who they want to become. And then therefore, as a byproduct of not knowing those two things, they really don't know what would be a suitable partner for them. And they make a lot of shitty mistakes, man. And I speak from experience, man. I mean, I've made a lot of mistakes, learned a lot of these lessons the hard way, but that's where it starts, man, is the relationship we have with ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I think Cody and I, our expertise is more in that direction of teaching people how to meditate, go inwards, find themselves. And then when they really do get a grasp of who they are and they start to go, well, what is it that I want? And a lot of people that I work one-on-one with, though, when they get to that place, they're like, well, I want a relationship. And I'm like, well, I'm not an expert on making one of those. So maybe it's time to bring in Scott or somebody else. So say, for example, someone kind of figures out who they are and they're like, okay, now I'm comfortable enough with myself. I'm ready. Then if they came to you and were like, Scott, now what I do, what would that strategy look like?
Well, the next level to that is I recommend doing a full-blown relationship inventory. And, you know, for most of the adults I work with, you know, that usually comprises, you know, somewhere between 4 and 7 key romantic relationships that they've had over the course of their life. And usually we'll end up going back to something like, I don't know, their first, you know, a high school romance or, you know, a college boyfriend or a college girlfriend or something like that. So we go back to the beginning. And then through this deep exploration process, we start to unearth like, okay, what was it that drew you to this person? What was the magic between you? What needs, wants, and desires were being fulfilled in this relationship? And in addition, what repelled you? You know, what caused this relationship to buckle and fall apart? And it's through these relationship inventories that we get really clear on, you know, what you want, what you're looking for, what you need, and what you absolutely, you know, like what your soul wants to avoid. Because we don't want to repeat any of the bad stuff. We want to find this composite sketch of the kind of person you would really, really be suited well with. From there, man, it's just it's just about getting out there. So I recommend all my clients have an online approach and an offline approach, because you know, you really want to and man, it's, I mean, these are brilliant times to be living in, because it's, you know, with all the apps, all the online programs, we'll talk more about it later, but you know, I met my wife online and we have an amazing, amazing relationship.
Which website?
Yeah, we met on eHarmony.
Awesome. Oh, cool.
And this was a while back, man. This was back in 2009.
Wow.
Yeah, a long time ago. But and we'll talk more about it.
You two were the first people on eHarmony. That's why it was so easy. There was only two people. You were the beta test.
Ah, that's so funny. Yeah, I don't know how long eHarmony had been around. I want to say it had been around for maybe 3 or 4 years at that point. But still, mm-hmm. you know, online dating back then was not what it is today by any stretch. I mean, it's holy cow. It's like everybody, more or less everybody is utilizing some type of an online strategy, which I think is brilliant because it's a great way to meet people that you wouldn't perhaps normally otherwise meet. It's a great way just to widen your net.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I do have a question about that, just about what the landscape of dating is right now, given apps and the online component, and maybe even just where we are in society, because it seems like it's just kind of, I don't even know what a word for it is right now out there. But once a person does really find themselves and know what they want, what is it like out there dating these days? What are they confronted with?
Cody's been married
with?
A long time. I've been married for what does it look like? 20,
yeah, what is it to have a date? No.
Is it like vultures? You just go out, they just tear you apart?
What happens? How has that landscape changed, though, and what are some of the challenges that people face now because of all the apps, because of, you know, the landscape? Like, how is that different than a decade ago? So,
gosh, man, we'll do our best to explore this, because that's a big, big question, man. There's a lot going on in that question. I love it. So the online thing, I try to tell my clients that it's an introductory service. That's all it is. It's gonna create a connection. From there, you have to be very patient with the process. It is absolutely a numbers game, and a lot of this is mindset. And so I tell all my clients just to treat dating as a social experiment. So like, let's say you meet somebody on Match.com or Tinder or Bumble or one of the other, you know, dozen or so platforms. Well, that's fantastic. Now you have a lead. That's all it is. It's a lead. Okay.
The lead generator.
Precisely, it's a lead generator. And so from there, it's strategy. So like I'm a huge fan of the coffee date. So I recommend all my clients just start off with coffee. Well, actually before that, you want to start off with a phone call.
Okay.
So let's back it up. So like, let's say you meet somebody online. Realistically, you want to push that into a phone call as efficiently as you can. Text and email is great for exchanging data. It's great for, hey, you know, pick up 2 gallons of milk and, you know, some pasta on the way home from, you know, the grocery store. It's great for stuff like that. But trying to build a real connection without any layers of confusion, I mean, text can be problematic. So you really want to push that into a phone conversation as fast as possible. Mm. So you can just start measuring what you got. Mm. From there, it's like, you know, book a coffee hangout as soon as you can. Like, we're all adults. You know, for God's sakes, let's get together and share a cup of coffee and see if we're even a match on a friendship basis to where what I tell my clients is like, you know, go have coffee with this person and just check to see if they're the type of human being that you even want to have coffee with again. Like, just treat it like a social experiment, because your only job is just to go meet this person for coffee and practice the gentle art of being yourself in front of somebody that you're attracted to.
I love that.
It's really all it is, man. Like, God, I mean, it's such a big question. Cody, am I tracking this? Am I covering?
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like it's better, Scott, these days, because you have such a good lead generator. Because when I was in college, the only way to meet somebody was to go to a bar.
Right.
Like, there was no other, or like a house party, maybe in class, but that was like awkward. So it was like everyone would go get inebriated and then, hey, my name's David.
Right?
You have hair and a face. Let's hang out. So I feel like now at least you can go online and go, oh, you know, we have the same interests. You know, I'm attracted to this person. It does kind of create a more of a filter.
These are incredible times, man. I mean, the scope of people that you can meet, again, people that you probably wouldn't bump into otherwise, it's fantastic. There's still some hurdles involved here where I often share this, that it's never been easier to meet someone, but it's also strangely never been harder to build a real connection and a real relationship. So the intro part, that's an easy part of the equation to solve. That's easy. It's what do we do after the introduction? So like to Cody's point, like one of the challenges I see out there is this whole dating, you know, ADD thing going on, because it is, I mean, it's like, oh my God, I feel like I'm about ready to go down a rabbit hole here, but what the hell, let's do it. You know, we live in this crazy throwaway culture where, you know, people don't fix things when they're broken. They just throw them away and replace them. And I think unconsciously, that's finding its way into relationships as well. I mean, God, you look at the divorce rate, it's a shit show. Mm-hmm. I mean, depending on what research studies you refer upon, you know, the divorce rate for first marriages is right around 52 to 55%. If that's not crazy enough, here's where it gets even more psycho, is the divorce rate for second marriages is almost 18 to 22% higher.
Really?
That's wow. Crazy. But here's what's happening, man. Years ago, I used to lead one of the largest divorce recovery programs in the U.S. for about 5 years. And what I saw was people would, you know, they get married. Things would be great for a while, of course. And then since they didn't understand the critical importance of, you know, to keep feeding your marriage, for God's sakes, like, you know, like treat it like a plant, like, you'll make sure it gets plenty of sunlight and water and food. You know, you gotta take care of it. It's not just a one-time thing. You know, those marriages would slowly go into a tailspin. Then they would lose altitude. And then finally they'd slam into the side of a mountain and that was it. There's your divorce. Mm-hmm. And since, you know, divorce recovery isn't really, it's not as mainstream as it should be. It sure as hell wasn't when I got divorced years ago. Most people go into the only type of divorce recovery they know of. And that is, you know, they start dating way too soon. They're trying to replace what they've lost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a recipe for disaster because people don't, I don't do it really anymore professionally, but back in the day, what I would always share with breakup and divorce recovery clients is, number one, you have to embrace a season of singlehood. Like, you've got to catch your breath. Now is a season to work on yourself. You know, this is not a season to go get laid or, you know, party your face off or go spend a bunch of money. This is not a time to run from the pain. It's a season to let the pain teach you a valuable lesson. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, very few people take that path, and many people take the other path. And then they get into these new relationships as a means to heal from the previous marriage. And then those turn into what I call divorces under construction.
It's like a rebound, essentially. You're talking about exactly, rebounds.
It's a freaking nightmare, man. It breaks my heart. And that's why I'm so passionate about intervening on this broken cycle and, you know, teaching people how to do it the right way.
Wow. So Scott, yeah. we start with a dating app. Maybe we meet someone, we talk on the phone, we go for coffee. We decide, all right, let's date. Let's go back to there. What is the strategy from there when you start dating someone?
So there's many, but there's one I want to talk about in particular, and I call it APC. And so the A stands for attraction. And the cool thing about attraction is it's biological. There's other factors at play as well, but it's largely biological. You know, you can, if your eyesight is good enough, you can spot you two guys, because you guys are single, right?
Oh, no.
Cody's been married for how long, Cody? 20
years? 19 years, I think, this year. It'll be okay, 19 going on 20. Yeah.
Okay, congratulations. But David, you're single, right?
Kind of. Not okay, really.
So, okay, well, hell with it. You guys
wait, David's like, wait, when is this going to air? I'm not now, but you know.
Okay. Hey, we'll cut that. I'll start off with my answer.
Oh, no, we're not cutting that.
No.
But we're all in. We're not even talking about cutting it.
No. That's hysterical.
So, okay. Holy shit.
I love it.
Like, if you don't know whether you're single or not, like, that's a problem probably in the relationship, right? You can't answer that question.
Okay, fine. So I'm dating someone, just we haven't met yet. They don't know we're dating.
Oh, this is good.
Just kidding. So guys, no, continue.
You guys are crazy. So the whole APC thing, A is for attraction. What I was going at is, like, you know, a single dude can be looking down the sidewalk, and if his eyes are good, he can spot a hot chick 100 feet away. And he's like, wow, you know, who's that? Like, I don't know, long blonde hair and, you know, shapely figure. And she's walking down the sidewalk and he's like, okay, wow, what's this? So that's the attraction part. It's biological. There's no effort involved. You're either attracted to somebody or not. You know what I mean? Where people get into trouble, man, is they put way too much stock into that attraction and they end up skipping these other two steps that I'm about to talk about. So, you know, let's say, you know, a single guy meets some girl online and they're attracted to each other. That's fantastic. And they meet for coffee and they're like, oh my gosh, this is great. You look just like your photos. You're even more beautiful in person. This is awesome. That's great. But what needs to happen, and this is kind of where mindfulness comes into play, is like, okay, I'm having coffee with an attractive person. That's fantastic. And I know I have deeper work to do. And that takes us to the next letter, which is P, and that's personality. And so, you know, over the course of a few dates, you're starting to collect data on what this person's personality is like. You know, is it stable? Do they have a good sense of humor? Are they more serious or lighthearted? Are they type A or type B? You know, like, what's their personality like? And you're going to get a good feel of that probably within 3, 4, 5, 6 dates. You know, you'll start to get consistent data points. The third letter is the C, and that's the core. I used to call it APT, and the T stood for temperament. But what we're trying to do, especially if we're looking for a lifelong partner, somebody that we're trying to build with and potentially eventually marry, we need all three of these segments to be very strong. We want to be attracted to this person. We want to really gel and enjoy their personality. But the last one takes the longest to get to know, to really discern, and that's their core, like their value structure, their worldview, their deep-seated behavioral patterns. Like, who are they at the deepest sense? How do they handle triumph? How do they handle setback? Are they safe? Can they be trusted? These deeper aspects of human character that we have to really work at. Again, attraction, bingo. You're going to get that in 30 seconds or less. Personality, I don't know, 3 to 6 dates. You're going to know if you're having fun with them. But man, that core, that temperament, man, that's where you got to really, you know, kind of get your pickaxe and your miner's cap, you know, with a little flashlight. You got to go digging for that stuff.
Yeah.
And so where, you know, the clients I work with is helping them be very patient with the process and not letting all of the euphoria of the attraction and the personality unnaturally accelerate the relationship. Because, you know, I've worked with people over the years where, man, they're like, oh my God, you know, he was so handsome and so charming. And, oh, we had so much fun together. And then they get into these, you know, full blown, like, committed sexual relationships, only to discover that he wasn't of trustworthy character. You know, he wasn't safe. That's a shitty place to be.
Right. And you know what I hear so often is he changed or she changed. And it's like, did they really? Or did you just not know?
No,
right?
Know
did you not
yet.
Spend the time to know?
Yeah, I think it could be a little bit of both. I think I've seen some people where they can kind of wear this social mask for a while. But on the same token, it really, I think it's just a skill of discernment. Like, you know, do you know what to look for? Do you know what to run from? And I talk about this in the program at depth, but, you know, the red flags, I mean, shit, most people can spot those things a mile away. That's why they're red flags. But it's the orange and yellow flags that are a little bit more subtle. Mm-hmm. And when we see those yellow and orange flags, we need to have the personal courage and skill to create an adult, sometimes uncomfortable and challenging conversation about what we're observing. And that's where boundaries come into play. It's a skill. So I think to your point, Cody, I think it's a little bit of both on that.
Mm-hmm. So Scott, you meet the person, you go on 6 dates. You're like, I'm attracted. I like the personality. Then maybe some months go by where you take it slower. You get to know their temperament and their core. And it's like, yeah, this is good. And this works. They're safe. I trust them. I want to go further. Then from there, what would be the strategy? How do you build a healthy relationship?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's all case by case, but I think there are certain blueprints that really play out well. You know, pacing and just being patient is a big part of that. But the next step is really just to start having these deeper, more exploratory adult conversations about vision. Like, what do you both want? And then really starting to establish agreements and commitments. Sometimes that just sounds like, hey, you know, I love where this is going. I love what we're building together. You know, how would you feel about just the two of us dating exclusively? Or, you know, I want to be in a committed monogamous relationship with you. What are your thoughts around that? I think it's important. I mean, really important, especially as adults and especially in, you know, today's day and age, that, you know, before things become sexual, I mean, that's what I recommend all my clients. I mean, you know, have a commitment. I mean, have at least know what you're getting into. I've worked with way too many people that when we do their relationship inventories, they would get all this shit out of order and they would basically be having all these intimate experiences with somebody that they hadn't really forged commitments with. And then they're left wondering like, well, I think we're in a committed monogamous relationship. I sure want to be, but we haven't had the conversation yet. And that's not ideal. I mean, again, we're all adults here. If we're serious and intentional about finding someone to do life with, it's just smart. I mean, it's just wise. Mm-hmm. You want to have that conversation beforehand.
Great. I like that. And so then we go from that space, finding the core works, making agreements, both deciding, let's do this. And then you also do premarital counseling and coaching. Is that right?
I do.
So how does that look?
So like, this is how I do my premarital work is it's an 8-week course, 8 modules. And buddy, I basically just walk these couples through these deep exploratory conversations that they'd, you know, just basically never have on their own. I try to paint all these different scenarios of like, what if, how would this work? What do you want this to look like? And sometimes, you know, my couples have to buckle up for these because it's like, they're exciting and kind of exhilarating to have these conversations, but it's many times they're just blindsided. Like, oh my gosh, I've never even thought of that question, let alone been asked that question.
Yeah.
And so these questions turn into very global conversations about, you know, what do we want for our future together? What do we want it to look and feel like? You know, for example, like, you know, we talk a lot about family of origin, like, hey, you know, what did you observe in your parents' relationship? Good, bad, and indifferent. And what do you want to consciously and intentionally carry forward into your own marriage? And what do you want to leave behind? Because, you know, with all the couples I've ever worked with, again, there were things they liked about their parents' marriage that they want to carry that tradition, that vibration. And then there's things about their parents' marriage that they're like, hell no, I don't want that to be part of my own marriage.
Can I ask a bombshell question?
Yeah.
Is there someone for everyone?
Is there someone for everyone?
Yeah.
Like a soulmate?
Well, like if someone's like, man, I've been single forever, maybe like there's just not someone out there for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, dude, it's there's a couple ways I feel like I can authentically answer that question. One is because, like, for example, I've got friends, just a couple friends. Most of my friends are either they want to be in a relationship or they are. But I've got, like, for example, I've got one friend in particular where he's in his early 50s. He's never been married. He has no desire to get married. Really doesn't even want a girlfriend. I mean, he's very, very set in his ways. And he has no desire whatsoever to be in a relationship. And truth be told, that's okay. I mean, like, at least he's being honest with himself and not hurting anybody else in the process.
Got it.
So I think there is a population of people globally, you know, what is there, like, freaking, I don't know what, is there like 8 billion people on the planet? What,
seven,
is that
something.
Right?
Getting
seven
close, I think. Yes,
yeah.
Seven and
change. Yeah, getting close. So, you know, when you've got that many people on the planet, yes, I think some of them do just have the gift of singlehood. Like, that's their journey. And I think that's fair. Now, to another point, I feel like, because you mentioned, like, well, what if there's somebody out there, Scott, who's like, they've been single forever and they're struggling and is that kind of the person?
Yes.
The persona. So here's the deal, man. I try to gently talk about this because I know it's tough love and it's kind of the hard truth, but I feel like that every human being is vibrating at a certain spiritual frequency, and they can only attract a similar spiritual frequency. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they might be able to attract someone who's maybe, I don't know, a couple megahertz above or a couple megahertz below or however you want to measure that, but they're going to be in a certain bandwidth of attraction. That's why I talk about, like, man, you want your spiritual frequency, your harmonic vibration to be at an all time high when you enter the dating pool. I mean, that's step one. And so that's what I would tell, like, if someone's just been out there and they're like treading water in the dating pool and they keep attracting this certain caliber of person that it just, I mean, shit never works out. I would just lovingly remind them that, hey, you know, where you are doesn't have to be where you stay, that you can move forward, that you can come up, you can get on this upward spiral of vibration and start, you know, getting a different outcome and a different result. And that's just, you know, it's kind of the whole mission of what I do is just help, you know, give people the skills to find real love.
I love that. Wow. Incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, and can I just share a quick little story?
Of course.
Dude, I used to be that person.
The one people were dating and going, this guy's shitty? or the one that was in the wrong vibration?
Well, dude, I think it probably went both ways. I know, you know, back in the day, I was not the best boyfriend. I mean, I just wasn't, because I could only attract what I was and I could only perform at that same frequency. I mean, I was like, check this out. This was one of the, you know, when I went through my divorce just a little after my 29th birthday, that's a whole story in and of itself that I won't go into. We don't have that kind of time. But dude, like when I went through my breakup, about 8 years later in 2006, man, that was what changed everything for me. I absolutely hit rock bottom. That breakup was 100 times worse than my divorce. And one of the spiritual impulses I got about 5 weeks after that breakup was the universe basically just told me, like, Scott, you're a broken man and you're only capable of another broken relationship. And I never forgot those words. I mean, I almost heard them auditorily in my own mind. And I'm like, I was just like, you know, okay, God, you're right. I am. I'm a broken man. I'm only capable of another broken relationship. So I have to do the deep work on myself to be the kind of man who is capable of a thriving, dynamic, healthy relationship.
Absolutely. And so you came to that conclusion, and then what happened?
Step one was I made a commitment to stay single for a year. I quit drinking. I quit chasing women, and I quit spending money, because those were kind of my main coping mechanisms for dealing with emotional pain. Mm. And then from there, man, I just, you know, went back to school, took every class, read every book I could find on healthy relationships, you know, attended every workshop, seminar, and sermon that I could find, just really just on this vision quest to figure it out, because I sure as hell didn't want to be in that pain ever again. Yeah. And I was just down and determined to figure it out, man. I just never wanted to make those mistakes again.
Was there, before we go to the next piece, was there a book or two that you're like, wow, this one has some golden pieces of wisdom that you think would be good for some of our audience if they're interested?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'll throw out a couple. So one was, it's simply called Boundaries. It's written by two psychologists, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. Mm-hmm. And dude, that was one of those books where I read that book cover to cover, and I literally just, when I finished it, I just sat in silence and I was like, holy cow, what would my life look like if I would have read this book 20 years ago? Mm. Just unbelievable, man. And then there's another book out there. It's called Getting the Love You Want, and it's by Harville Hendricks. And it's an incredible book. The title is a little, it says, what's it say? Getting the Love You Want, and then the subtitle is A Guide for Couples. But I would recommend all single people check out that book. And then my hope and prayer is that you would manifest and attract the type of relationship that your partner would be down for reading it with you again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've read so many books over the last, you know, 9-10 years, it's crazy, but we'll keep it capped at two.
That's a great start.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, in the search, before we move on, maybe a little further down the road, but in the search, are there some kind of myths or ideas that people have that really aren't helpful in either working on themselves or fostering, finding someone, like, I got to find my soulmate, right? Well, what does that even mean? What are some of the kind of ideas or myths that we have about relationships that actually aren't helpful in finding and fostering and growing a real committed relationship?
Wow. Thanks, Cody. I love this question, man. And I feel like we could build a whole episode around this. So ones that are coming to mind are that if it's not perfect, it's broken. That's in doing a lot of relationship inventories over the years with people. Cause dude, like, let's be honest, like when two people meet and there's that attraction and they're like, oh my God, you know, I'm so attracted to this person. And then the personalities gel and there's just sparks flying in every direction. I mean, it's incredible. It's like this overwhelmingly euphoric experience. I mean, and that's why people say like, oh my God, she's perfect. Oh my gosh, he's the one. And that's great. But man, I think we set ourselves up for disappointment because despite all of this euphoria and chemical reaction and excitement, you know, we are imperfect human beings and we are interfacing and we are in relationship with other imperfect human beings. So eventually, like seriously, like, you know, check your watch or your calendar. At some point, the relationship will be imperfect. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like, don't freak out. Like, it's normal. But some people, like when it starts to be imperfect, they lose their breath, they start to freak out, and they're like, oh my God, this isn't what I thought it was. She's not the one. It's broken. I can't deal with this. And all these other narratives start to fire up into the monkey mind and the squirrel cage. And I'm like, dude, slow down. It's not broken. This is not a catastrophe. All this means is now we start having these challenging, potentially uncomfortable adult conversations. Like, it's like, I always say, it's like, okay, now the relationship's not perfect. Fantastic. Now let's just work on it.
Right. Uh-huh. It's like that first reality check could be an exit point for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Rather than a reality check to go, okay, where are we really?
I love that. It's people like they make an emotional snap judgment. They view it as an exit point when in fact it's a growth point. This is great. You've hit a snag. Now you're in the, it's funny, dude. I just wrote a little blog post thing. I said, are you in a relationship, ... or are you just dating, ? And I built this narrative, like, because my thing is, like, I just don't believe you're in a relationship unless you've had three or more, or basically at least three uncomfortable, challenging conversations. Mm. Prior to that, you're just dating. You're just having fun and you're just celebrating life together. And that's fantastic. But at some point, the relationship's got to get real. And it usually gets real when we confront our imperfections. It's no big deal. Just work through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like, you know, my wife and I, we've been married for, you know, almost 7 years now. And I mean, it's been great. I mean, it's been the best relationship we've both ever had. We're in like complete agreement, but man, we've hit some like just rough patches, and it's just life. It's not her fault. It's not my fault. We're just two imperfect people, but for better, for worse, we human. And we also have this vision of perfection. And when it's not perfect, we're like, oh shit, now what do we do? And that's where, you know, communication takes over and cool heads prevail, and we just work through it. And what I want to really share with people listening is, man, don't be afraid of it. That's where the growth is. It's where the magic is. And when you come out on the other side of these, you know, they're kind of uncomfortable, you know, because they may not be what you're used to, these conversations. But on the other side, man, that's where the strength is, mm-hmm. You know?
It's very true. I mean, it's and it builds over time, right? So like in a marriage, you know, we're, I don't know, 19, it's horrible, I can't remember right now, but 19 or 20 years in.
And I'm, it's sure, like, your wife would love that.
Yeah, many moons.
Exactly. Many moons. But, and so we have been through stuff, right? And we have a child and we've been through challenges. And on the other side of each of those, there's something about kind of getting through life that can be strengthening to where we are. But you have to kind of look at it as a space where there's growth happening, right? So for that to happen, I think their growth has to be a part of then what creates that strengthening. So
100%, man.
And so Scott, say all of this works out from a coffee date to the core and the temperament to dating to figuring it all out to marriage. And now you're in a marriage and you're hitting these bumps. Like, what are you were mentioning that you and your wife get through them. There's been some tough ones, but you get through them. What are the strategies to actually get through them? Like, do you point people towards counseling? Should they be sitting and meditating together, hashing everything out every day or every week, once a month? Like, what are some of the strategies to make it work long term?
Yeah, man, it's a great question. It's kind of case by case. I would, I'll use my own marriage as an example. So for my wife and I, whenever we hit up, you know, whenever life happens and we're called to deal with something, personally, we've discovered that step one is to book time and then also state the intention. So I'll be like, hey, honey, when's a good time this week for us to talk about blank? So she's like, okay, we're going to talk about blank, and I have freedom to pick when we talk about it. Or I'll say like, hey, honey, I'd like to talk to you about such and such for an hour. When might that work for you? Mm-hmm. So this way we can, because we tried this in the beginning and we just, I don't know, because we just, I guess we thought we didn't need to do it a different way, but I would just come home from whatever and I just roll into it. Like, hey, let's talk about this. And she didn't have any type of buffer to get into the proper headspace to enter into that dialogue effectively.
Great point.
Yeah. So man, that's something that is like, it sounds so simple, like scheduling and setting the intention. Holy cow, man, it just flat works. And so that way we're like, we put it on our calendars and then we're like, okay, here we are. We're both rested, you know, we're fed, like our physiology is dialed and we're at our best to approach this topic and come up with the best possible solutions.
Yeah, I love that. I know I've had experiences where maybe I finished teaching a class or a workshop and it's like 20 or 50 people. And And, you know, I'm like ready to decompress, and the partner I'm with is like, no, let's get into it. Cause they're like riding the wave of what I maybe of me teaching something or they're going through something. I'm like, well, I'm not ready for that. I need to decompress for an hour or two or till tomorrow. And I've never really thought about it that way before. I think that's really great strategies to schedule having those conversations. I love that.
Yeah. That way you just, you know, cause I think it, as an added benefit, it just, it keeps people out of trigger mode. You know, because I know, like, if I come home and my wife's like, hey, let's talk about such and such, I have to immediately try to switch mental gears. I have to fire up all these different software programs in my mind. And that's stressful. Yeah. to do such a big task shift, to come out of one mode into a completely different mode that's probably typically entails some type of an uncomfortable conversation. Mm-hmm. So, just having that advance warning, like, hey, it would mean a lot if we could cover this topic and arrive at some type of resolution. And I'd like to do it sometime this week. And it might take a half hour. What sounds good to you? That's not triggering at all. I'm like, okay, I know we're both adults. We have to cover this stuff at some point. And I appreciate you giving me the freedom and flexibility to pick when and where we do it. So that I'm prepared. Hey, how about Sunday at 3 after, you know, after we have lunch and we do the farmer's market and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. After Home Depot and then Bed Bath and Beyond. And then
if we have time.
If we have time.
Question. I think the great thing about that strategy is that nobody feels ambushed, because so often we're ambushing each other with whatever's going on with us and our emotions and trying to get a resolution. And that kind of takes that out of the mix. That creates space and room for kind of what we would call setting the energy, but holding an intention for a positive experience. So that's like a cool
Cody strategy. that's a perfect word for it, the ambush. Yep.
So I have the big question, Scott. So when it comes to a long-term relationship, how do you keep the sexual part of it going and exciting? Because it seems like for most people, it starts to die down over time. Are there some ways to make that come back to life or to keep it alive, to keep it exciting?
Yeah, man. Okay, so first of all, I know some people may think this is unromantic, but I've just discovered it to be reality for myself and for a lot of my clients, is you may have to schedule it. What I mean by that is life gets busy. I run a business and a program, and I've got my hobbies and all the things that I do in my own life. And then the same way with my wife, she's got all of her friends and she's doing this and that. And then we have the life that we share together. So we're busy. And so one thing that we learned early on was like, holy shit, we're getting so busy that the busyness is crowding into our sex life. And that ain't cool. Mm-hmm. And so I tell this to, you know, everybody who will listen, is like, you've got to push. Right now I'm pushing out to the sides with my hands, if you could see me, but you got to push back on life and create these safe and sacred spaces to be intimate. So like for us, you know, my wife's going to kill me. She's very private. But like, you know, mornings work really well for us. The mornings are, it's the fresh start to a brand new day. We're rested. We're, you know, we wake up frisky and, you know, we're energetic and we're ready for action. And so that works really good.
Don't call Scott in the morning. Don't email him before 10.
Oh, dude, I turn off the Wi-Fi and everything, buddy. Yeah, we set the whole house.
Cut the electricity to the house.
Yeah, it's just, we turn off it's just candles.
Yeah.
Just candles. Breaker. But yeah, that's really it, man. It's just pushing back on life. All of the couples I've ever counseled, man, it's just life, man. They get busy. They get caught up into their own individual projects or projects that they share as a couple. And before you know it, they're like going like, you know, 1, 2, 3 weeks or sometimes even longer without being, you know, intimate and deeply romantic with each other. I'm like, well, no shit. Look how busy you are. This is ridiculous. You're trying to do too much. And, you know, then you come home at the end of the day and you're spent, you know, you're exhausted because you're doing too much. or, you know, they inadvertently schedule things in the morning to where they, like, you know, on the weekends they wake up and they've, I'm doing a boot camp with, you know, with Christy and so-and-so, or, you know, I'm doing this with Dave and the guys. And it's like, dude, like, no wonder you've got to set some boundaries around that so that you at least have time to let it happen.
Can I ask a follow-up question real quick?
Yeah.
What if the case is, you know, sometimes it'll be like the guy, well, let me give you two things. One is like the guy wants more and the girl or whoever, whatever the couple is, one person wants more and the other person wants less sex. So that would be one scenario. Like, how would you bridge that gap? And then the other is like, what if they have different temperaments or needs and sexuality? How do you have those conversations and heal that space to the point where it really works for both people?
Well, okay. So let's take the first one. So what you're talking about is frequency. So like one person wants sex X times a week or X times a month, and the other person wants it Y times a month. Am I getting that right?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, we got to find out how far apart we are. You know, is this a narrow gap? Is it a wide gap? Depending on how wide it is, I would start asking the question like, okay, what can your partner do to create more desire, to create more arousal, to create more romantic safety? Like what can your partner do to accelerate or amplify the mood? And so this is really kind of where we go into, I mean, it could lead us into fantasy. It could lead us into a lot of things, like, you know, like really, like the sky's the limit. What could your partner do that would make you feel more sexy more often? What could your partner do or not do to make you feel more attracted to them? Like, we really want to get creative, and the sky's the limit. Like if anything was possible, what would you love to see happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah, great question.
Like, really,
Cody,
just like,
Cody, what would you love to see happen?
Cha-cha.
Cody, give us some examples. What are you into? I've looked in his closet. I've found all sorts of stuff. Is that a weapon? What is that? Is that a laser?
Wow.
Don't listen to David. He's just making stuff up.
I am, Big Sky, because Cody would never let me over his house. So. That's why we do things at a distance. We have me and Cody have a long distance relationship. We do it over Skype. You know?
That's right.
that would be a great bumper sticker. We do it over Skype. Dig it. So David, going back to my kind of the original point of like, you know, one person wants it, you know, X times per week or per month, and the other person wants it Y amount of times per week or per month. What I would suggest is to enter into a conversation of what is sexual intimacy? Like let's say it's not actual intercourse. Like, let's say one person is like, I want to have sex 3 times a week. And the other person's like, well, I absolutely only want to do it once per week, or whatever these numbers are. Well, what is something creatively that we could do romantically or intimately or sexually that doesn't involve full-blown intercourse that would still really be fulfilling and connecting and exciting? And just having a creative conversation around that.
I like that. That's great. Like Cody likes playing tennis naked. You know, just everyone's got their thing.
I mean, who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Exactly. Beach volleyball, anybody?
Just, so for our audio guy who edits this, don't cut this out. Just making sure I'm putting a note in here in this part of the episode. Keep that in.
Now, naked racquetball, that's kind of dangerous.
That's a little rough. Yeah. Someone could lose a part or something with that.
Yeah. Explain that to the ER doc.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Talk about blue balls. Okay. So let's go with the amount of time we have left. Just three dudes talking relationships, which I love. Last year was just me and Cody having this conversation. So it's great to have you here, Scott.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. So So let's go into, all right, we get married, we work out the sexual part, we get the communication going, we're in a full-fledged, deep, good relationship, and then all of a sudden it just heads south and the two people decide this is no longer going to work. This is, we're done. Or maybe we've come to the end of this part in our lives together, let's separate. How does that usually unfold? What's a healthy way to separate? Or actually, before we answer that question, Scott, how do you know when it's time to separate? And then what is a healthy way to separate
and if it is time? That makes me think of this concept that's out there. What is it? Healthy uncoupling is the new kind of thing.
Conscious uncoupling.
Yeah, conscious uncoupling. And what are your thoughts on that? You know, having worked, especially in the divorce recovery, I mean, that may help. It's almost like entering into that next phase, maybe in a better energy or a better mindset. Maybe where that comes from. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, you know, with all the people I work with, you know, coming through the Great Relationship Academy, you know, either through the singles program and or the, you know, pre-engagement or premarital, you know, my hope and prayer is that divorce is never part of their story.
Right.
You know, we try to strengthen and fortify the relationship to the point where, I mean, God, they're just happier than shit. And, you know, just divorce and dysfunction is just never part of their story. But what I will say is, you know, after working with, you know, hundreds of men and women going through divorce, you know, years ago in the program, this would be my advice is if you're at the end of the run and it's just painfully obvious that you just simply want different things out of life. And every time you try to move the relationship forward, it just feels like you're grinding gears and, you know, it's like you can't get the thing over 10 miles an hour because you're just grinding the gears so hard. And it's just abundantly obvious, like, wow, this is not working. Step one is to be very, very patient with yourself, your partner, and the process of dissolving the relationship. What I mean by that is a lot of people make these snap judgments about like, oh, you know, that's it. This isn't working. I'm out of here. And then the next day they call an attorney and then they file for divorce the next week later and things accelerate way out of control. So I'm a big fan of, you know, just for God's sakes, you know, like especially if you've been married for a while, maybe you have children, you know, slow your roll. There's no harm in getting separated, you know, separate, calm down, let cool heads prevail, and really start taking some measurements about what's at stake. I've worked with a lot of people where they didn't really count the costs, like the emotional costs of divorce, and they really didn't have a solid grasp of what's at stake. And then they went through the divorce and they regretted the hell out of it. You don't want to do that. You want to take some very deep measurements on what's at stake. And the one way you're going to do that is to get some time, get some distance, you know, separate for a few months. This is not a race to be single. Like, you know, I just can't wait to get out of this marriage so I can be single again and I can party with my friend. Good God, please don't. I mean, I know your audience probably isn't of that mindset, but you want to be just about as patient coming out of the marriage as you were getting in it.
Oh,
does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Like, take your time. I would also say, please, no big moves. This kind of goes back to being patient. Mm. So what do big moves look like? They look like getting a new job, buying a new house, moving to a new city, heaven forbid, getting into a new relationship. Those are very big moves. And those are not the kind of moves you want to make under emotional duress. You want to make those moves from a position of spiritual strength and wisdom, not from emotional reactivity.
That's brilliant. That's incredible advice. I've never thought of being as patient coming out of a relationship as going into one. I really like that. And I know I've worked with probably hundreds of clients who come out of them and have really, really struggled. And I wish I had that piece of advice to give in the past. So I'm going to remember that one. Thank you. So we're running out of time here, but wow, you've just walked us through a big part of that arc from being single to being married to getting divorced if you have to, but don't if you don't need to. Scott, if some of our listeners, all of our listeners, want to find you, learn more from you, drink from the cup of wisdom of relationship that you have to offer, where do they find you?
Yeah, thanks so much, David. And Cody, thank you as well. Yeah, guys, they can find me at thegreatrelationshipacademy.com. And depending, I feel very blessed, but depending on when they check out the site, there may be a couple pages that are under construction. We're doing a big refresh and unveiling new parts of the site. So pardon my dust. There may be some construction dust, some couple 2x4s laying around and some couple nails. Some parts might be a little under still construction.
Thank you, Scott. So let's see, shall we finish here, Cody? Do you have any other questions before we roll out?
I mean, I certainly could come up with more questions. Okay. It's great talking with you, Scott, but I think we are at a good point to end, which is kind of funny. We go through the whole cycle and then you talk about divorce and it's like, well, it's over.
Yeah,
it's over. Bitch, you know? Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening,
everybody. And that's a wrap. Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks again so much for having me. And, you know, I just, as we bring this thing in for a landing, I just want to just encourage, you know, all of your listenership that healthy, thriving relationships are absolutely possible. No matter where you at, no matter how old you are, it's possible. And, you know, just my closing encouragement is, you know, just to be very conscious and mindful about it and really get the skills so that you can find that real love you've been seeking. And you'll do that by, you know, dating with clarity and then going on to choose with confidence.
I love it.
Yeah, I like it.
Scott Milnes, everyone. Thank you so much for being here, Scott. And I would love to have you back to go deeper into some of these topics sometime.
Guys, thanks so much. It's been an honor. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. Really enjoyable.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Later, everybody.
Take care.
That was Scott Milnes, everybody, and that was a hell of an episode. I absorbed as much as I could. I don't know.
You were taking notes, right?
God damn, I was taking notes. He has so much knowledge and wisdom about relationships. It was really amazing to listen to him talk and to have a male who is just so such an expert on the topic was quite incredible, and his personal experience.
Yeah.
So that. Yeah,
it was really fun to talk to. And I mean, I like the idea that it was getting relationship information and advice from a male. Not that that's not common, but we haven't, you know, having three guys on the show talk about relationships was great. And I love how the whole tone of everything he kind of approaches the relationship with is so intentional, you know, and so mindful, which really, you know, where we come from in terms of being intentional, mindful, meditative in life, it makes sense that, you know, what's like the biggest part of our lives are relationships, and to bring that level of intention and focus and really questioning, finding answers into that, that's powerful.
And I was mentioning to him after the show, like, I was like, Scott, the way you come at relationship is the way I would think of coming at like building a building or a business. It's like, it's almost like you reverse engineered it through mistakes. And there's just this very clear process, which for most of us relationships is like, you feel like you just kind of jump into the ocean. You're swimming around.
Yeah. We just flail around until something happens.
Try to hold on to somebody else like a buoy. Yeah. Love me. Love me.
And the energy he set is so different from that. And it makes sense. I mean, if you think of a relationship, like, it is something you're trying to build that you are going to keep your whole life. I mean, it's like this huge thing. And he just made so much sense. It's absolutely beautiful. So,
and I just want to say, he mentioned that you should schedule talks with your partner if you want to have a conversation about something. And Cody, me and you should do the same thing. We should schedule our talks. We do the podcast.
The podcast, yeah.
All right.
Stop ambushing me, David. I'm not ready to talk call you about up this. Like,
Cody, I've got someone on the line. We've got a guest. Let's go.
Let's go.
You're like, what?
What? Who?
All right. We're just dorking out right now, guys. That was an awesome episode. As always, thank you so much for listening to Energy Matters. You can find us at energymatterspodcast.com. You can find Cody at intuitivevision groundedmind.net. You can find me at groundedmind.com. You can both find us on this weird thing called Facebook, some other places. But mostly you'll find me sitting at home by myself.
Meditating.
With my eyes closed. I'm quite a boring person. I don't know about Cody. But again, Costa Rica, this April 28th, revampretreats.com if you want to come with us. We got an awesome group signed up already and a few more places. And that's all for this episode, guys. We will see you next time on Energy Matters.
See you later, everybody.
Later.
Oh, and happy Valentine's Day.
And happy Valentine's Day.
You've been listening to the Energy Matters podcast with Cody Edner and David Gandelman. Brought to you by intuitivevision.net and groundedmind.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or soundcloud.com.